Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM. See you Tuesday.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
My name is Jean Legault, Science 82, former CFRC alumnus, jazz director from 1980 to 1982. I'm thrilled to be back on campus. I can't describe how important CFRC was to me, not only as a training ground. It helped me develop my confidence in public speaking. And as far as my love of music, it was developed directly from this station. The wealth of records back then, we didn't even have CDs, and the people, the terrific volunteers that were here. I want to thank CFRC, and I'm really pleased, and I'm amazed at the technology that's here, and I'm wishing you all the best of success. This is Jean Legault for CFRC 101.9 FM.
Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. We have a few messages directly from the city of Kingston this evening. To start us off, a reminder that the University District Safety Initiative remains in effect this week, running nightly through November 3rd. The initiative aims to keep celebrations safe and respectful in Kingston's University District during the busy fall season. Residents can expect to see increased police and bylaw presence, and anyone caught hosting or participating in a nuisance party could face penalties, up to $2,000 for hosting and $500 for failing to comply with orders to leave a property. The city says the program has been successful over the years in balancing celebration and safety. Kyle Compo, the city's director of licensing and enforcement, states, quote, "We encourage students and guests to avoid high-risk behaviors and reckless partying that could result in fines or put unnecessary strain on emergency services," end quote. Gord Edgar Downey Pier and Breakwater Park Beach will also be closed nightly from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. until November 2nd. The city of Kingston is paying tribute to Canada's veterans with an installation of two new veterans commemorative crosswalks at Lower Union and Ontario Streets. The crosswalks, featuring a stylized maple leaf and the image of a soldier, honor the service and sacrifice of those who stood on guard for Canada. Mayor Brian Patterson says Kingston is joining cities across the country in, quote, "honoring and paying tribute to veterans through painted pedestrian crosswalks that offer ongoing opportunities for reflection." An unveiling ceremony will take place on Wednesday, October 29th, from 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at the site. Road closures will be in effect on Ontario and Lower Union Streets during the event. These crosswalks come ahead of several Remembrance Day events in Kingston, including the National Memorial to the Fallen unveiling on November 1st, Indigenous Veterans Day on November 8th, and the city's Civic Service of Remembrance on November 11th at McDonald Park. The city has announced that Homestead Land Holdings Limited will continue its naming rights for the Homestead Baby Grand Theater for another 3 years through to 2028. Homestead has been a longtime supporter of the Kingston Grand Theater, first partnering with the city during the 2004 restoration campaign that raised $3.35 million to revitalize the downtown venue. The Homestead Baby Grand Theater, located inside the Grand, is a smaller, more intimate space, known for its cozy atmosphere and close-up connection between artists and audience. Danica Lockhead, Director of Arts and Culture Services with the city, says, quote, "Homestead Land Holdings has been a dedicated supporter of the arts in Kingston for decades. Its continued partnership helps ensure the Homestead Baby Grand Theater remains a vibrant performing arts space for our community. This renewal comes alongside a $30,000 annual investment from the Britton Smith Foundation in the Grand Onstage School Performances Program, which helps local students experience live theater each year. The Toronto Blue Jays are in the middle of their World Series run, and the city of Kingston is keeping the excitement going downtown with free watch parties in Springer Market Square. The screenings kicked off last weekend and continue tonight and through the week, with each game being shown live on a big outdoor screen outside City Hall. Games start at 8 p.m. and the events are happening rain or shine, with updates posted by 6 p.m. on game days. Fans are encouraged to bring friends, blankets, and their Jays gear and help cheer Canada's team through the World Series. Once again, you can watch on the big screen in Springer Market Square starting at 8 p.m. tonight, October 27th, the 28th, 29th, and 31st, and November 1st. The City of Kingston is joining neighboring municipalities to explore more via rail service between Toronto and Kingston, including a possible late-night train. The initiative is part of a regional survey launched today by Kingston, Port Hope, Cobourg, and Belleville to gauge community interest in expanding passenger rail options. Mayor Brian Patterson states, quote, "Passenger rail is one of the key transportation options that keep Kingston and all Eastern Ontario communities connected." The survey will help determine whether there's enough demand to advocate for new service times. Residents have until November 17th to share their thoughts through the city's website. This new survey is the next step in a push that started right at City Hall. Kingston City Council called on Via Rail to not only preserve service to the city, but look at expanding it, including the idea of a late-night train back from Toronto. Here's a look back at that story.
Via Rail, get your act together.
That was Councillor Brandon Tozzo at Tuesday night's City Council meeting following an eventful few weeks for rail travel in southeastern Ontario. In September, to accommodate the launch of a new nonstop express train between Toronto and Montreal, Via Rail announced it would be reducing the number of trains stopping in Kingston and other municipalities along the corridor. However, the company postponed the planned service reduction shortly after the announcement. This all comes after changes announced in March to Via Rail's earlier high-frequency rail proposal, which originally included establishing Kingston as a regional hub. These changes were also formally opposed by council. Mayor Brian Patterson brought a motion to council on Tuesday night aimed at not only securing Kingston's current level of rail service, but also improving it. The motion includes three key requests to Via Rail. The first two are that Via Rail commit to maintaining existing passenger rail service levels in Kingston and commit to a forward-thinking plan for enhanced passenger rail service in Kingston, including upgrades to the existing station and predictable, improved service into and out of Kingston. Mayor Patterson elaborated on the reasoning behind the motion.
The purpose of this motion is twofold. Number one, I think it's important that we continue to work to preserve the level of service we have. And so to be clear, VIA has made it as intending to still move ahead with these changes, just not at this point. So I don't think that we can shrink back and be complacent about this. But the second piece is that even with the status quo, I don't think that we should be satisfied with that status quo. And I think we've had those discussions around this table. I've heard many of you talk with the same passion and sometimes frustration that I have on this issue, because I see so much potential for what rail service could be to and from Kingston. I feel like there's a failure of imagination, a failure of an ambitious vision for rail service that I think would very much have the potential to transform a lot of travel through Eastern Ontario.
The motion is topped off with an action item, a request to investigate adding a late night train from Toronto.
And I think if we're talking about where we can improve service, let's start with a very tangible, practical example. I hear all of the time from people in this community about how they would love to take a train to Toronto to see a Jays game or a Leafs game or a show or even good dinner or even a late meeting, and you simply cannot do that. The last train that departs back for Kingston, you have to be at the station by about 6 p.m. or shortly after. So one of the things that I think that there is tremendous opportunity for is a late evening train back from Toronto. So here's a great opportunity where we can grow VIA's ridership, we can improve train travel. And so what we've agreed is that we will do our part in surveying the community and trying to get input about those who would be interested in late evening train.
Councillor Don Amos, who seconded the motion, didn't hold back his frustration with Via Rail's recent decisions.
At the end of the day, VIA needs to really evaluate their business model, because if you look at your fourth largest station and you decide to not provide more service there, how badly do they really want to be in the customer service business and moving people across the country?
The motion received unanimous support from council, and so did the feeling of confusion and exasperation over the company's shifting plans.
Like, what is VIA Rail thinking? I have no idea tomorrow. Like, I'm going to just open up the news and just be like, what is VIA Rail doing? Are they just bypassing Kingston? Are they shutting down service and going bankrupt? I think the chaos that this has brought on to the community cannot be understated, because people don't know what services we're going to get a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. Imagine what rail service could be in Eastern Ontario. We're living between three large cities, and it is becoming incredibly inefficient to take rail service. You know, I've had my frustrations in the past with VIA Rail. I cannot think of more of a time where I am more confused by the message an organization is setting out from a communications perspective to the community and to Eastern Ontario. I'm sorry I sound infuriated. This is one of those times where I'm actually really mad at a Crown Corporation, not the first time, but where I'm just like I have no prediction of what's going on in the future.
A copy of the motion has also been sent to other municipalities that will be impacted by service reductions along the Montreal-Toronto corridor, including Port Hope, Cobourg, Belleville, Napanee, Gananoque, Brockville, and Cornwall.
We do need allies in this, but I think that if we can join forces and have a collective voice on this issue, then we can finally shift the conversation from cutting service to where we could actually add and improve service.
Councillor Connie Glenn added she would be bringing the motion forward to the Ontario caucus to get other municipalities involved. For now, Kingston's rail future remains on the tracks, but uncertain, as council, commuters, and neighbouring municipalities wait to see what VIA Rail's long-term plans have in store. Once again, that was a flashback to a story from earlier this month regarding Kingston's push for better rail service. You can head to the city's website at cityofkingston.ca to have your say on a possible Toronto-Kingston late-night train. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Henry Walker with your campus news for this week.
Thank you, Chris. This is Henry with CFRC's Campus Beat, bringing you Queen's Campus News. This past weekend just marked Queen's annual FOCO, that's Fake Homecoming. As with previous years, the FOCO weekend has been accompanied by the enforcement of the University District Safety Initiative, or UDSI, a collaborative program between the Kingston City Police, City of Kingston, and Queen's University. The initiative is designed to promote community safety and reduce disruptions in the University District during high traffic periods, such as homecoming, fake homecoming, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween weekend, and many more. Under the UDSI, individuals in the university district charged with certain provincial and municipal offenses, such as public intoxication, noise violations, and those contained within the nuisance party bylaws, may have their information shared with Queen's University for possible review under the Student Code of Conduct. The city and university may enforce additional monetary penalties on individuals charged under the UDSI, such as an hourly fee of $90 for each police officer or firefighter responding to calls. The UDSI is in effect from October 17th, homecoming weekend, through November 2nd, Halloween weekend. For some around campus, the placement of Queen's Homecoming directly following the university's Fall Reading Week leaves a lot to be desired. With many students out of the city during that time, the incentive to return for homecoming simply does not exist. Instead, some choose to celebrate the following weekend, a trend that's helped create what we may refer to as FOCO, or Fake Homecoming. This back-to-back period of parties and celebrations has, in effect, stretched the student social session through the second half of October, from homecoming right through to Halloween. For the university and the city of Kingston, that means an extended period of heightened activity and enforcement, thus providing us with the UDSI, or University District Safety Initiative, as well as many of the nuisance party bylaws that remain in place throughout much of the academic year. While these measures aim to prevent disruptive street parties, some students feel that the scheduling of homecoming itself contributes to the issue. Having an event immediately after reading week leaves little time for students to return, prepare, and participate in official sanctioned homecoming activities, leading many to organize separate celebrations later, i.e. FOCO. Others argue that moving homecoming a week later could help boost attendance at sanctioned events and ease the pressure on both the student and the community. As October winds down and the academic year continues, this debate also moves forward. Is the back-to-back timing of Reading Week a homecoming schedule coincidence, or is it a catalyst of this growing fall party period? Again, this has been Henry Walker bringing you Queen's Campus News on CFRC's Campus Beat.
This is the Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, October 27th, daytime high of 9 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud dropping down to 2 overnight. Tuesday, October 28th, a little warmer, 11 degrees with an overnight low of 2, mostly sunny conditions during the day. Wednesday, October 29th, another 11 degree day here in the city of Kingston, that same 2 degree overnight low, mostly cloudy conditions in the forecast. Thursday, October 30th, daytime high of 10 degrees with an overnight low of 6, mostly cloudy conditions. Friday, October 31st, Halloween, 61% chance of precipitation in the morning and afternoon, should clear up for trick-or-treating in the evening. Daytime high of 10 degrees, overnight low of 6. So bundle up if you're heading out with the little ones on the 31st. Saturday, November 1st, daytime high of 10, mostly sunny conditions. Sunday, November 2nd, daytime high of 10, mostly rainy conditions, 55% chance of precipitation. And then moving into the start of the first full week of November, Monday, November 3rd, daytime high of 11, overcast with rainy conditions, overnight low of 4 degrees. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with a quick reminder from Public Services and Procurement Canada that the LaSalle Causeway will be closed on Sunday, November 2nd from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. That is closed to all pedestrian and vehicle traffic. In terms of road closures, Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess and Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Brass Point Bridge is closed October 29th and 30th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. each day for the replacement of bridge deck planks. Motorists are asked to plan their travel accordingly and to exercise caution in the area. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Kings Court Ave, concession to First Ave, is closed until November 21st for gas main installation. Ontario Street at Lower Union is closed October 27th at 8 p.m. to October 28th at 4 a.m. for the installation of commemorative crosswalks. Ontario Street at Lower Union is also closed October 29th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the unveiling of commemorative crosswalks. Queen Street, King to Ontario, is closed October 28th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. to complete asphalt restoration. Wellborn Avenue, Chelsea to Everett, is closed October 31st from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. for the Wicked Wellborn Block Party. And Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Ave, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Ave. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, expect expect delays while a contractor completes construction of new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage. Taylor Kidd Boulevard, Collins Bay to Coronation, expect delays beginning October 30th at 7 a.m. to November 7th at 7 p.m. for the replacement of two culverts. Trudell Road, development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
This is Christina Laurie coming back in with your concerts and events calendars for this week. Tonight, if you're feeling competitive, grab a pint and some friends for trivia night at Something in the Water Brewing starting at 8 p.m. If live music's more your speed, head to the Cove Inn for John McClurg at 4 p.m. Or catch Two Voices in Jazz featuring Chantel Thompson and Natalie Cran at the RCAJ Club starting at 5:30 p.m. On Tuesday, October 28th, the Kingston Public Market runs all day in Springer Market Square. Visit local vendors and artisans from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. In the evening, it's Tom's Tuesday Happy Hour Jam at the RCHA from 4 p.m., followed by Shane Pendergast at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. You can also stop by Time Out Bar for Paula Wood and Friends at 6 p.m., or head to Jersey Sports Bar for Open Mic Night with Carrick McAllister at 7 p.m. And for something heavier, the Exploited and Random Killing hit the mansion at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, October 29th, catch Daniel Adam and Gary Barrett performing a lunchtime set at the Social YGK or Viento South, bringing Winnipeg Latin folk music to 109 Aldergrove Place at 5:30 p.m. Later on, Frank Ryan plays Musiki Cafe at 8 p.m. Christopher Jackson is at the Creekside Bar and Grill at 6 p.m. And Foreigner with 5440 take the stage at Slush Puppy Place at 7:30 p.m. If you'd rather take the mic yourself, there are open mics at Hotel Wolf Island and the Cove Inn, plus karaoke at Jersey's, the Mansion, and Time Out Bar throughout the evening. That's what's happening around town for the first half of this week. Be sure to tune in at the same time on Wednesday to catch your events and concerts for the rest of the week. Have a concert or event you'd like to add to our online and on-air calendars? Send details our way through cfrc.ca. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present a single from Westport-based artist Resonant Transitions, a.k.a. Ken Little's debut album, Hearken Organum. The new album was recorded at the Spire and captures Ken's unique composition and playing style, bringing new sounds with cymbals, gongs, and percussion instruments. Stay tuned for tickets to Ken's album release concert taking place at the Spire on November 16th. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Hearken Organum now on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Rejoinder here with us on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Queen's Gaels are making the long trek to Windsor to battle the Lancers for a shot at the Yates Cup. These two teams last met on homecoming, where Windsor stole a victory on a last-second field goal. Can Queens avenge their homecoming loss, or will they suffer another agonizing semifinal stumble? Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM to find out. We go live at 12:45 with the Grad Club pregame show and a scheduled 1 p.m. kickoff.
Good afternoon. My name is Bruce Swan. I graduated in Commerce 72. And I'm back after 53 years of being away from Queens. And I'm listening to CFRC. And when I was at Queens, I listened to CFRC. And so I'm glad to be here.
And welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. This week on the show, we're talking about openings. How do you start your story? What do you do if you're feeling stuck? How do you know if you're making the right impact for your reader? So let's talk about something that every writer wrestles with, the opening paragraph. It's no secret that those first few lines can make or break your story. In just a few sentences, you can either grab your reader's attention or lose it completely. As a result, it can be a very intimidating process. A lot of weight goes on those opening sentences, but there are strategies that you can use to make it feel less intimidating. I think one of the most important things to realize is that even though it's the first thing readers read, it's not necessarily the first thing that you have to write. Many writers will go back and edit that opening line, especially as their story progresses and things may evolve. As an aside, if you ever want a bit of a laugh, I would suggest looking up the Lytle Lytton contest, and that's Lytle Lytton. It ran every year from 1983 until just recently and celebrates the worst fake opening sentences ever written. It is named after the infamous author of It Was a Dark and Stormy Night, and it's good for a laugh. But it's also actually helpful in showing you how good ideas can go astray. So you can use it in a way both as entertainment and also to see what not to write. You can look at it and ask yourself what didn't work about it. Was the introduction too slow? Was it too confusing? Was it melodramatic or dramatic? And how would you fix it? Could you save one of those sentences? That can be a good practice in and of itself. One of the things I want to talk about is the idea of starting too early. And what I mean by that is the sense of giving the reader too much information that happens before anything interesting happens. One of the best pieces of advice I ever heard in this regard came from Canadian horror writers Nick Cutter and the late Andrew Piper in a workshop on writing suspense. They framed it by asking participants in the workshop to imagine that your book had just been turned into a movie. You're sitting in the theater on opening night, the lights dim, the curtains draw back, and they ask people to imagine, what is the first image on the screen? What is the first scene of your movie? Now, does that scene match the opening of your story? And if not, it's an opportunity to ask why not. It's a good visual of thinking about what's unnecessary. What can I cut out? Things that people tend to put in there that really don't need to be there are waking up, for example, brushing teeth, making coffee, those sort of mundane things that we assume that most people are going to do in the course of their daily lives. And unless that morning routine, for example, reveals something crucial, you can just skip it. There's an improv approach that says, start on the day that everything changes. And I think start in the moment everything changes is a really good way to get your plot really moving for your reader and make them interested in following along. Another suggestion that that I've carried with me came from David Mitchell, author of Cloud Atlas, and he basically explained that anything that exists in your opening scene will be accepted as fact by your reader. So if your story takes place in a strange world, you can hint at that strangeness right away. I think of Haruki Murakami, who once described a sky with two moons, famously in one of his books. They weren't central to the plot, but they told readers, hey, things are going to get a little weird here. So don't be afraid to add something odd, and don't be afraid to introduce it early on to get your readers on side with the world that you're creating for them. As I mentioned before, first lines don't have to be perfect right away. You can write it, move on, and come back later. Once your story has taken shape, you can reread your opening and ask yourself, does it still capture the tone, mood, and world you've built? Does it give away too much or not enough? Sometimes a small, subtle hook is more powerful than a dramatic explosion. Now, here's a couple strategies for strong openings. Credit goes to medium.com for some of these suggestions. The first one being the run-up, which is essentially just starting to write, getting warmed up, and building your story's momentum. When you feel like your story has hit a good place, like it's actually saying something, you can go back and get rid of all the preamp. Don't worry about revealing all of your story's secrets. A strong start that leaves the reader curious is a great way to keep them hooked. A second strategy is to invent expectation with 1-2 punch. Classic example is Charles Dickens, It Was the Best of Times, It Were the Worst of Times. So you set up an expectation, you make the reader think that they're going to get a certain kind of story, a certain kind of premise, and then you flip it on its head right at the start. And that can be a really great way to hook people in. And then the third approach is start with a feeling you want to convey with the reader, but delivered in a vague enough way that they're not sure how to take it. When you look at Albert Camus' The Stranger, and in the opening line, he says, "Mother died today." Each reader will probably have their own feelings about what this experience means to them, but you have to start thinking about, how does the narrator feel? That sentence is very flat. It doesn't give away a lot in and of itself, so you need to keep reading to figure out the tone and delivery behind it. Is the narrator sad, relieved, resigned, or numb? You have to keep reading to find out. So now that we've talked about a couple of different options of how to get started, I want to offer a couple of exercises that you can try. So the first exercise is just a 5-minute kickstart. This is a great one if you're starting from scratch, or if you just have a really rough idea of something that you want to do. So the first thing you want to do is set a timer for 5 minutes, then write a 1 or 2 sentence summary of your story or the chapter that you want to write. Then jot down your character's journey in bullet points. This will give you a mini map that helps you decide where your story really begins. So let's try that now. So again, write 1 or 2 sentences that give you a summary of your story's chapter. Then write your character's arc or journey in bullet points. now that we've done that, we're going to move on to something called the 10-line challenge. This is an opportunity to explore and play. Make sure that you have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously. Don't stress too much about what you're doing. Take that story that you've just outlined and write 10 different openings for it. Again, don't overthink it. Just keep them coming. Why 10? Because it takes the pressure off writing the perfect one right off the bat and pushes you past just writing cliches. By the time you hit your 8th or 9th or 10th attempt, you're probably going to start finding fresh ideas that surprise even you. Even if none of them are the opening that you settle on, you've exercised a creative muscle and it can help get your juices flowing. So let's spend 10 minutes on 10 sentences now.
Thank you.
now that we've completed both the 5-minute plotting and the 10 or actually 12 minute, I give you a little extra time, plotting of your story arc and creating some opening sentences, I hope it gave you an idea of the kinds of activities that you can do to practice, to play, and to get past the idea that you have to be serious all the time or that you have to pursue perfection from the get-go. Writing should be, first and foremost, something that you enjoy doing. Very few people make a living as a writer, so you have to do it because you love it. If you do it because you love it first, then good things will come from it no matter what happens with your career, whether you ever share it with anyone or if it's just for yourself. If you were wondering what music we listened to in this week's show, the first track was by Besnard Lakes, and then in the second set we heard a tune from Lady Hawk, and that is the Vancouver band without an E, not the band with Hawk with an E. And then some Nemesis and some Land of Talk. Hope that helped. Hope you're having a great week. And I hope I'll see you here next week on Word Labs Out Loud.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from the winter in Canada's long-anticipated new yet untitled album. Over the summer, the band gave us a taste of what was yet to come with singles like Wolves, Tides, and Threads, each one marked with the band's signature aggressive downbeats and roaring guitars and bass. Now the full album is here, delivering that same raw energy across an unrelenting track list. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Untitled by The Winter in Canada on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called The Head, the Tail, the Wings, and the Claws with us now right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.